Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton with you, along with Jeff.
690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
That was kind of an awkward beginning. I apologize. Brian Sexton with you for Jaguars This Week. Vic Ketchman is here. Jeff Loggeman is here. And you can be as well through your phone. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Week one of training camp is about to wind down here. Scrimmage Friday night. We've got plenty to talk about. Vic, how are you?
I'm fine. Got off the field.
Hot?
Oh, yeah. Very, very hot. All week long. It's probably the hottest training camp of my life. We just had an Oklahoma finale. All right, Oklahoma part two, farewell to Oklahoma for 2010. And at this time, I am going to thank Coach Jack Del Rio. And I hope the fans are appreciative, as I am, for his cooperation with the Oklahoma festivities. 40 years covering the NFL, that's a lot of Oklahomas I've watched. And I've, again, I can say I have never seen anyone injured in an Oklahoma drill. The fans enjoyed it. The media was out in full force today to chronicle the championship of the Hawaiian Islands.
And who won?
Bad draw.
It was a draw. It was an uninspired Oklahoma. Vinny turned Tyson Alualu on the first fall and clearly turned him, and the back went through. The back didn't hit the ground at any time during the three. But impressively, Alualu had the strength to shed Manawai's block on the final two. I thought Vinny got into him.
And he just couldn't hold the running back.
Bingo.
You know,
bingo.
So.
He got into his pads.
You're talking about two incredibly strong men.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, boy, the power that those two can. Oh boy.
So that's what impressed me about. I'm just going to say Tyson. I can't do this Alualu thing. It's going to drive me nuts. That's what impressed me about Tyson in the Oklahoma today is that he had the strength against a powerful, powerful guard to shed his block twice.
What'd you think of it?
It wasn't as spirited as the first one is because, you know, the first one is, you know, it's full pads. It's the first day full pads, and everybody's kind of spunky. And, you know, how many days are they in now? They started practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, so 7 weeks, basically a weekend, seven practices in, whatever it is. And they're tired, you know, so when you get into the sixth day, the seventh day, and coach is like, hey, Oklahoma, you're like, yay.
All right, well,
I love the Eben Britton, Derek Harvey, and the Eugene Monroe and Larry Hart because I thought those were indicative of where those guys are. Monroe is dominant. Harvey is on the rise. And Larry Hart, for anybody who thinks that you can become an every downs defensive end, every downs lineman in this league at 240, 50 pounds, there's
no
proof that you can't. He's going to need some strength and some seasoning before he can be that every downs player.
He's got the strength. He just needs seasoning. I mean, that's.
You think he can learn to play against a guy like Eugene Monroe and hold?
Well, I mean, are you going to need him to be a full time guy anyway? I mean, you got Campman, and you're certainly not going to ask him to play left defensive end.
Well, no, I just meant in situations.
He's going to be a situational guy.
He's going to have to play the run at times.
He's got to learn how to play at this level with those size guys.
Yes.
And that takes a little time.
It took Tony Bracken's time.
Took Robert Mathis' time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Robert Mathis, early in his career, was not an every down guy.
Tony Bracken's got snowplowed early.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. You know, so, I mean, I picked that matchup because, for that very reason, I wanted everyone to see what Eugene Monroe, what kind of a killer he is. I mean, this is a big man, what he can do in a mismatch situation and what he's going to do this year when he gets those mismatch situations, which he couldn't take advantage of them last year. He was just coming to camp late. He was lost for the first half of the year.
He's looked good. Mm-hmm. He's looked good. The one thing that has not looked good in training camp so far is the number of guys that have gotten nicked. You know, and I'm not saying that it's severe.
Maurice Drew, Daryl Smith. I don't know what you call Aaron Kampman Nick, but he looked like
DeAnthony Smith is more than Nick.
DeAnthony Smith is a huge deal, a third-round pick, I guess, tore his Achilles.
Yes, surgery coming up.
You know, you've got guys who are battling backs and hamstrings and things like that.
Yeah, Edmund Britton didn't practice this evening. Justin Smiley's kind of been off and on, but I think that's because of the shoulder thing. You know, Larry Hart didn't practice. He tweaked something yesterday in the evening practice, didn't practice today. Mm-hmm. You know, so you'd love to have everybody healthy and practicing. I mean, that's just not the way it works, but they're working hard. You know, they're working hard, and they're looking good. The defensive line is a joy to watch this year.
Oh, boy. They are the stars of training camp, and Joe Cullen is, I mean, the other guy, you look at the other positions, and at the same time that Joe is putting his guys through this high-intensity, high-tempo drill, the other guys are, you know, in that stand-around-and-be-taught mode. And this has not been the super intense physical training camp that I was expecting when we were told that there were going to be live to the ground tackling drills. You seen any of those?
Not yet.
When's that going to happen?
I don't know.
I can't imagine them.
If I was a player, I would not want to see it. I mean,
But I remember writing a story on it.
They brought in a coach. They brought in some guy during OTAs who worked on form tackling's his thing, so clearly it's...
That was actually my old college coach that they brought in.
Really?
Phil Almation.
He was the defensive line coach when you were at UVA?
No. Linebacker's coach.
Oh, linebacker's coach.
Yeah, you got to remember, I was...
I forget that from time to time.
I was the mini Jack Lambert.
All right, but you say it's a joy to watch. Is it because of Joe Cullen and the way that he's conducting practice?
Well, I think it's raised the energy level up of the entire team. You know, yesterday I did that NFL series thing with Randy Cross, and talked to a lot of players yesterday for that and then also elsewhere, and it's amazing how many of them comment about how hard the D-line is working, offensive players and defensive players. They have noticed the work mm-hmm. that the defensive line is doing, and they have noticed how Joe Cullen is coaching his rear end off and is getting these guys to improve, and their teammates are recognizing that.
All right, let's talk about Derek Harvey, because you mentioned in the Oklahoma drill when we were talking about that he is on the rise.
He is...
What have you each seen from him?
Night and day. He's a different player. I'm seeing technique in him I hadn't seen previously. That's for sure, because he was not a technique guy. I am seeing quickness in him. I'm seeing a spark in him. At times, he has looked like the dominant player you would expect from an eighth pick of the draft. The live bullets haven't been fired yet. I understand that, but it's nice to see it even in the individual drills, because I didn't see it at any time in the previous 2 years.
Hey, the most important thing is it's way better than what it was the last 2 years.
Got that right.
And Edmund Britton, not last night because Edmund didn't practice, but the two-night practices before that, Derek Harvey was abusing Edmund Britton.
Is that right?
Yes.
Because, you know, in OTAs, it was the opposite. Evan was having his way with him.
Oh, it didn't happen the two night, not last night, like I said. The two nights before that, Derek in one-on-one pass rush and in some run stuff was wearing him out.
Mm-hmm. 355-NFL-1, if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. Final one-hour show next week. This program stretches from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock here on News Talk Radio WOKV. And tomorrow night, you can join us at the Florida Blue Health and Wellness Practice Fields for Support the Military Night. There'll be a static display, a performance by the Albany Marine Band, Serviceman and Servicewoman of the Year, an SHB-60 Seahawk flyover from HSL-60 out of NAS Mayport, and, of course, Chick-fil-A will be offering a free sandwich to anyone with a military ID. Gates are open at 6:15 tomorrow evening. Final practice that's open to the public of training camps. So come out and show your support for the military and the Jaguars. And we're back after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars. This week, rolling along from Everbank Field in the studios inside. Brian Sexton, along with Vic Ketchman and Jeff Loggeman. You can join us 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. John Dineen, along with Joe Fortunato here, taking your calls and enjoying the evening as well. Let's talk about the offensive line, because it's where Jack Del Rio wanted to speak last night on his radio show. Thoughts on, obviously, the two tackles you both have touched on, but the competition that's going on right now for the guard spots. And Jeff, you made the comment to me two nights ago about the way that Justin Smiley moves, and Jack jumped all over that the other night.
Well, he can run like a linebacker, which really surprised me. I mean, he's, you know, and in this revamped offensive line, how I envision this is now that Vince Monawai is exclusively playing right guard. That's where he's at in camp. That's it. He's not flopping back and forth. He is right guard. You have Vince and you have Eben. There's your power side of your offensive line. And what better way to make a power side of an offensive line better but to have a guy that can pull over there as well. Mm-hmm. And so that Justin Smiley is working at left guard. I don't know what the head coach said about his ability to run, but Justin Smiley can flat out get it. He's 300-something pounds. He's got a little nastiness to him. That's a good battle, Keenan Forney and Justin Smiley. That's a really good battle.
What have you seen at the guard competition, either side, left or right?
I kind of get the feeling that Forney's the leader at left guard. And I kind of get the feeling that Vince is going to be pushed to make the team. I can't concede a starting job to him.
No. Nobody's given him a starting job. But they want to light a fire under Vince so that Vince can meet his potential. Because if Vince plays to his potential, he's a Pro Bowl caliber guard. The most dominant run blocker maybe at the right guard spot or left guard spot in the game. That's what they want to see out of him.
Now, here, let me say this. I'm going to use Tony Pashos as the example. I think Vince has got a $3.5 million salary.
Yeah, it comes down to money.
Yes. It sure did for Tony Pashos. And everyone jumped on that. What are you doing? You're weakening yourself. Well, now a year later, it's easy to see you made the right decision. You've now got your fixture at right tackle, and he's ready to step into his future now, as opposed to having hung on with Tony a year ago and now making that move.
Well, the difference, though, is that Tony always was just a great big guy. He was not going to help you as a pass blocker. The question is, but Vinny, as Jeff just said, if Vinny's playing, Vinny is your best guard.
Without a doubt. I mean, if Vinny's playing at the level that he's capable of and has shown in the past, he's their best guard without a doubt. Now, if all of a sudden Vince Monawai shows that he's the best guard again, what do you do with Uche?
Well, that was just... Yeah.
That's where I was going with this. That was my next thing. Does he play center? Can he push Brad Meester out at center?
I think it would be difficult for him to push him out.
Mm-hmm.
So Uche would become a swing guy.
See, I am of the opinion that one of these two guys, Meester or Manawai, is going to be out of here because they're the guys that got the salaries.
True, but you're going to keep 9 offensive linemen, aren't you? I mean, why couldn't you keep?
Yeah, starters, veterans like that don't go to the bench. You know, that's the old rule.
I understand $3.5 million. I was assuming
Uche certainly wouldn't be gone.
No.
You're talking about Vince
or Brad.
Or Brad. Yeah, possibly, but I think both of them are going to be starters.
Okay.
So you've seen something from Vinny. You've seen the fire get lit.
I just know that when that guy puts his hands on you, he's going to wear you out. And I don't care if it's Uche, Justin Smiley, Keenan Forney. They don't have the capabilities to do what Vince can do.
Okay, so can you keep 4 guards and then a swing and Uche who can play center and guard?
Yeah, I think so.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Vinny, in order to make the team, has to be the starter.
You're heavy on the salary.
Yeah.
All right, that's the thing. It's tough to have $3.5 million on the bench. That's tough to justify.
So he's got to be a starter to keep all 5.
Absolutely. All right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. How about a tackle? Is Jordan Black the swing tackle there?
He's got to be.
Any of those young guys? The kid from Rutgers, anyone else?
Yeah, the kid from Rutgers.
Kevin Haslam. Haslam and Baldridge are practice squad.
Get my roster out of there. Haslam is actually doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. With the other guys, Daniel Baldridge, I believe it is, from Marshall. You know, he's a project. Big guy, though, like 6'8", you know, but his feet aren't exactly the best in the world. But they seem to like Haslam, this guy from Rutgers, and, you know, he's been playing left side and right side. You know, so he's a guy that, you know, could end up being in the mix and fighting for a roster spot. Certainly practice squad could be a place that he ends up. But that interior three positions on the offensive line may be the most intriguing battles of all of training camp, that and the safety positions.
Stay there just for a second. Does anybody have a leg up in your estimation? I know you said that Keenan Forney at left guard. What about the right side, and what do you think?
And see, I don't necessarily think that Keenan Forney has a leg up at left guard. I think his consistency they really like, and you got to remember that he had a little bit of a head start on Justin Smiley. The thing that I think gives Keenan somewhat of a leg up is because I don't know if they're ready to trust Justin Smiley's shoulders yet. But if he shows that he's healthy and he's ready to go, Justin Smiley's a better player maybe.
How about the right side? You think, man, you said it, Manawai is the guy you think is going to really win the job.
I think Vince does things that nobody else can do. He's the only guard that I have ever seen that had been able to handle Albert Haynesworth when Albert Haynesworth was just killing people. Mm-hmm. He's the only guard that could handle him. Nobody else could. Everybody else had to have two. So if he plays that level, he's your best guard.
Just a side note, Ron Heller, a longtime Eagle and Miami Dolphin left tackle is here. What do you see him bringing to the table for those two?
Fisticuffs. Me and him got in a fight every preseason.
The dirtiest player ever lived.
So he was brought here to light the fire under Eugene then to become a better finisher.
No, I don't know. He's not actively coaching the offensive line. He's helping. Certainly he's helping Eugene Monroe. But make no mistake, Andy Heck is the coach.
No, I don't.
You know, and
but it's like Jack with the linebackers. Well, no, that's kind of where he goes.
Yeah, and I've watched it, you know, Brian, because I mean I've really, really watched it. And because I really thought that maybe that Ron would really jump in and kind of ignite some guys. But you know, Ron is really has stood back and is just, you know, little whispers here and there. Hey, you know, try this, you know, do this a little bit better.
Well, Vic referred to Eugene as a killer, and you never did last year, so
no.
I wondered if maybe, you know.
No, Eugene, is, you know, he's got a long way to go to be before he's a killer, and I hope Ron Heller, you know, is able to pass off some of the way that he played to Eugene Monroe, because Ron Heller was a dirty SOB.
Mm-hmm. He was very underrated. He's a good player.
But he was a good football player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good football player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's that kind of guy that you're never going to talk about him in terms of the Hall of Fame.
No.
All right? But if you look over his body of work, there, other than for the lack of Pro Bowls, it's a Hall of Fame type longevity.
You know,
it's just
you know,
that
you
the
know
Pro
always,
Bowls aren't there.
One of the highest compliments I think you can pay a guy that played the game is that you hated him because he wasn't on your team.
Right.
But you would have loved to have him on your team.
You know, I was standing there last night with Marco Coleman, and one of the offensive linemen had a shot to bury a safety, and the first thing that Marco said is, Ron would have done that.
Oh, Ron would have crushed him.
He said, even in a drill, he said, would have the entire defense go, man, why you do that to our boy? And Ron wouldn't have cared, because that was the way that Ron played the game. He said, Ron may have to change that.
Ron will work on that. I mean, every preseason, me and him had bench-clearing brawls. Now, we got more fights. I think we had three consecutive years in which we created bench-clearing brawls.
Oh, he loved to get under
in
the
preseason
mask.
Games.
He loved to get inside the mask.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the rake.
We had a few fights.
Have you sat and recalled?
Oh, the first time I ever saw him back here, you know, and obviously this was since we both had long retired, he was in the equipment room, and I said, that Ron Heller? Yeah, yeah. So I went up to him. Let's just do it right now. Let's go.
All right.
He was laughing.
Folks, we got another half hour of this program, Jaguars This Week, from Everbank Field. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the good folks over at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Hey, first preseason game is a week from Friday. And then, of course, they will be here a week, 2 weeks from Saturday. So stop by Gate on your way to the stadium. Back after news on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Back to the Jack Del Rio Show in this portion. I'm reading the wrong card. Jaguars This Week. Brought to you by Best Buy. Visit your nearest Best Buy.
Holy cow, you think it's Tuesday.
I just grabbed the wrong stack of cards.
I'm way better looking
than
the coach
over here. You just didn't have to make me feel
now.
Better, didn't you?
Oh, about the Open? No, Joe. It was my mistake. Anyway, there's Best Buys all over the place, folks. That's a free promo for them. All right. Stay on the offensive side of the ball. Wide receiver? Is it cut and dry? I mean, I'm looking at the chart that you've prepared, and you've got Troy Williamson and Mike Sims-Walker at the very top.
Let me make some comments on wide receivers, some things I've observed.
Please do.
We've talked a lot about Tyquan Underwood. Jeff and I like the way he moves, etc. I've done some research on him. You've heard the term, you've heard it said of a guy, he makes all the tough catches but drops the easy ones. It applies in Underwood's case. He's a guy who catches the ball outside the framework of his body better than he does the ball that's thrown right at his chest. He struggles with the ball that's right at the numbers. He's got everything else, the speed, the athletic ability, the ballet-like
leaping ability,
ability to catch the ball, you know, like Lynn Swann. But he doesn't have the hands. His hands aren't good enough. I don't think it appears his hands aren't good enough to challenge for anything more than just a roster spot. Kasim Osgood, it's just the opposite. He'll catch the ball right at his chest, but he can't catch anything else. The ball outside the framework of his body, which is a problem because the guy's 6 foot forever, you know, and has these wonderfully long arms, and you'd like him to be a red zone receiver for you.
Which means go and get it.
But there's just too many drops.
If Osgood had hands, man, yeah. He runs. I mean, he can run. He's big.
What a great red zone.
Smart.
What
he's
a great
tough.
Touchdown receiver he would be.
He doesn't catch.
Now Jarrett Dillard is, you know, on pop. So what it comes down to is Mike Sims-Walker is one, and Mike Thomas is two, and Troy Williamson hasn't shown up yet.
I thought he had he's had some good plays, Vic. He has. Last night he had some good plays. Tonight I didn't watch the wide receivers much, but last night I really watched him. He had a good night. Had a real pretty deep ball from David. He actually has done a few things, and you know, on my roster, I've got him as the starting X, not Mike Thomas.
I would really disagree with you on that one. I don't even think he's in the picture. And that's not my opinion, because I don't use my opinion. That's my reporter's work on this one.
No, I got you.
I also think that this team is going to go out and get another guy.
A wide receiver?
Yeah. Somebody will come free. I don't think they're going to stand pat with what they have.
That makes it interesting because they've got three draft choices from last year, and they paid money to Kasim Osgood.
But he's a special
Yeah, but they paid him for
it
to be
guy.
A special yeah. teams guy. I mean, trust me, they didn't pay him all that money thinking that he can really contribute on offense and be a, you know, number two guy.
They wanted a wide receiver that
they
could be active on
knew,
game day.
Yeah, they knew. They knew what he was. I mean, that's not a big mystery. I mean, the guy.
They lied to him.
Hands of stone.
They wanted him. They wanted him to play special teams. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you can play wide receiver
now,
for us.
Though, you've got two guys. You've got two guys on the offensive side of the ball in Montel Owens and Kasim Osgood who are strictly special teams
Yeah,
players.
But they can fill roles on offense. I mean, Osgood, you're not going to freak out if he's playing wide receiver. I mean, I don't want to give people that impression. He's not going to make a great catch. Maybe he will, but he's going to have a few that were, you know, put it this way, when guys catch the ball, there's the what I call the noise factor.
And across the field.
When you know, the great receivers catch the ball, Mike Sims-Walker, it's just a, you know,
tick, tick.
You know, Mike Thomas is a, and when it's Osgood, it's whack, whack, whack.
And his body's cutting it twice.
It's you know, he doesn't have the real soft hands, and that's okay, but he can still fill a role in offense, much like Montel. You'd put Montel in at fullback without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You'd put him in to carry the ball without even thinking about it. So, I mean, these are guys that they are special teamers, but they also can contribute.
You know what they used to say when a guy like that would drop the ball? clang, clang, clang went the trolley.
All right, so how do you mix Zach Miller into this? Because he is a pass-catching tight end, a wide receiver.
Now he's, you know, he missed all his spring with the foot, and now he's getting back into it, so that's going to take some time. He just can't step right
in.
Boy,
they're throwing him right back into it, though.
Yeah. I have high expectations for him. He's my
center, for goodness sakes. Don't you think they have expectations too?
Who?
I mean, Zach Miller's been taking snaps from center for goodness
sakes. But what he did the other night was because Garrard was riding the bike all night.
No, I know.
All right, so they needed a third guy.
they're not going to show that when it's a practice open to the public.
And they had him doing it today.
Right, exactly. And it was awful looking. I mean, that is not something they would use. They needed a third quarterback.
Right, but clear. Well, they have two others in McCown and Zach Miller.
Yeah, but I'm saying Garrard decided to take the night off, and they needed a practice quarterback.
They like him, and they want to use him.
Yeah, catching the ball. I mean, he's probably their second best receiving weapon.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, on paper.
Based on what he did against the Browns.
On paper.
Oh, did you see anybody last year have a game like he had against the Browns other than Mike Sims-Walker?
8 catches and 2 touchdowns? No.
I mean, he had a big game. I mean, he showed what he could do. Mike Thomas is more of a throw it sideways and get him in space and let him run with the ball kind of guy.
He's a slot guy.
Right.
All the way.
Right.
He's a slot guy. If Mike Thomas is your number two, you know, you're not panicked. But you want to find another number two.
Underwood is, I think, a stretch the field, a deep threat kind of guy, but I don't think he has good enough hands.
I think he does.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he does. Okay. I think he actually has pretty good hands.
To be an every downs kind of end.
Well, the only thing that I wonder about him being an every downs guy is he's not a real big guy. He's kind of slight. Mm-hmm. You know, can he do that? Can he beat the jam at the line of scrimmage? Can he handle the physical demands of playing the game? You know, being an every downs guy, that's always going to be the question with him, I think. But I think he has pretty good hands.
They got to get Dillard back and then reevaluate that situation before receivers start coming free in cuts.
355 NFL 1. Let's take a break. When we return, we'll go to the defensive side of the ball. And, of course, you can join us here on Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Very thought of you. Ah, get that mood indigo.
That was Vic walking in off the field into the air conditioning a couple of hours ago.
Ah. Well, I tell you, I
melting in the heat.
Yeah, I changed my style of shorts, outer shorts.
Okay.
For yesterday, went to the higher cut. I want to tell you, I've never felt heat like this in my life. I don't know if it's my age
or
if this global warming stuff is really happening. But
you looked like a ball girl yesterday. Seriously, yeah, the hot pants going. Is
that... I'm telling you, man, I almost went over to that air conditioning. They installed that air conditioning, and I was waiting for someone to yell, "Hey, get out of there! That's for the players!" And I hey, go screw yourself. I needed some air up my shorts. Wow!
Did you record that? That's another classic Vicism. 355 NFL 1. Just a couple of notes from around the NFL. Will he or won't he?
Who?
Oh, who will?
Oh, I'm now enjoying this. There is a point at which a story becomes so bad it's good.
Right.
And this is now to the point of such ridiculousness. I picture Favre and his wife sitting on the back porch in Mississippi, howling, laughing at the world, laughing at any idiot that would even care whether he comes back or retires or whatever. This is comedy. This is sheer comedy. And ESPN is the fool of all fools.
They're biting hook, line, and sinker on mm-hmm. every part of it. Did you see the other story about Favre today?
He killed somebody?
No, he's pulled a Sean Salisbury. He's sending photos of himself and not...
What kind of photos?
Yeah, those photos.
Dirty photos?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's been.
Tell me about
reportedly
this.
He's been texting them to a very naughty looking, by the way, former Jets intern. Have you seen the
Do
picture?
Do you have any of
this?
These pictures I can
oh,
see?
Oh, wow. Well, I can't remember the
Favre
name.
Favre is sending pictures of himself with another woman?
To another woman. So it's the comment that he might be sitting with Deanna on the back porch there in Kill, Mississippi, howling is probably a little out of context tonight because, well.
Yeah, I stopped sending those kinds of pictures of myself years ago.
The Brett wow! Favre would have done that.
What?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But it says Pro Football Talk had the story earlier, but it's.
Oh, I assure you. Yeah.
Bizarre allegations against Favre could complicate the decision.
Where's the picture? I want to see the picture.
Yeah, pull the picture up of her. Her name is Jen Sturger. She was an in-house sideline.
Oh, yeah. I used to date her mother. pull up a picture of her.
John. Anyway, she was
an Eagle cheerleader?
In-house sideline reporter for the Jets, and she now works on Versus, the network. And
I'm liking this story more and more.
Oh, yeah. Well, it becomes the most bizarre. All of a sudden, now you're tuning in.
There she is. Wait a minute. Well, she's attractive. Deanna's not going to like this. Well, homo.
Yeah,
look at that. She's got on a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not all she's got on.
So anyway, the Favre story just keeps getting more and more interesting.
The guy's lost his mind.
Well,
he texted that to somebody?
Look, his contract. Yeah. Well, no, he texted a picture of himself. You understand? His contract was $12.5 million, and by saying no, all of a sudden the contract went to $16 million.
Well, he won't be sitting on his back porch for long. I mean, that'll be her back porch.
Yeah, and her money, too, if that's the case. We'll see. There are allegations at this point.
I'm not going down that road. I'm so tired of talking about that.
I think it's hilarious.
It is. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just.
All right. We'll pass it. How about the
Albert Haynesworth thing? Find out the first week of the season.
How about the Haynesworth thing? Are you interested in that at all? It's reached day
7. Oh, we're going from the sublime to the ridiculous now.
It's reached day 7 now.
I just. to me, that's an interesting story because how's it going to end?
Well, it might end with Albert coming to practice with a club, as he did at Tennessee. He got thrown out for fighting and then returned a half an hour later with a baseball bat in his hands.
Ooh.
Yeah. One of the coaches said, hey, Phil, Albert's back.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out, but Albert Haynesworth is a bad word in D.C.,
why would you give all that money to an imbecile like him?
That is a great question.
I mean, the guy has been a problem everywhere he has been, and you're gonna tell me that putting all that money in his pocket makes him a better man?
Well, he's divorced now, so that
he's got that going for him, which is nice. You know?
Yeah. Right after he signed the bill. All right, so back to the Jaguars. How about the linebacking core? We've talked about a couple of different spots. Russell Allen, Kirk Morrison, Justin Durant. We haven't seen much of Darryl Smith the last day or so.
No, and they Russell Allen moved over to the strong side as soon as Darryl is out of the practice. This is going to be an interesting group, you know, because if you think about that group, there's some open spots. You know, is young Kyle Bosworth in the mix? The other guy, Cutrera.
Jacob Cutrera, the kid from LSU.
Cutrera, 58. Watch him now. He looks pretty good. And Teddy Lehman, I think they like these young guys, and I like these young guys a little bit more than Teddy Lehman.
I think they've got their work cut out for him, a linebacker in the future. I think they've got some real work to do there in upcoming drafts.
No, you're right.
What have you seen from Morrison?
Looks good. He had a really good night tonight. I like him mostly because he's a vocal leader, which really was never, you know, the situation for Darryl Smith. But he's vocal. He's active. He's a tackling machine. And Vic, you're going to love him.
Mm-hmm. He's great. He's great copy.
He's a Hall of Fame interviewer.
Oh, you bet. Is that Favre's girlfriend?
Yeah, that's her.
I thought you were staying away from that.
Unbelievable.
No, I'm staying away from Brett Favre.
The guy can't, and the guy can't, he can't stay out of the news. I mean, he is an attention whore. Yeah. He's got to have, Joe, what are you doing?
Thank goodness we don't have, honestly, folks, thank goodness
Linda,
we're not
if
out
you
of
had
camera.
Seen him now,
yeah. She'd be so proud, Joe. All right,
this is incredible. What the Vikings have to be? What's going on there?
Well, you know, they rode that circus last year, but here you are now, a week into training camp, and they still don't know whether they've got a quarterback or
not.
You
got this great running back. You know what? Put Tavares Jackson a quarterback and give the ball to Peterson. Everything will be fine.
All right. How about safety, since that's a position that everyone's had their eyes on?
You know, that's kind of hard to figure out, you know, because of the rotation. I mean, there's so many guys that they're mixing in there right now. They really haven't kind of – usually with the repetitions, you can kind of get a gauge on how they feel about certain guys. Have you gotten a feel for that?
Gerald Alexander appears to be a lock for one starting position.
Yeah.
After that, I got no candidates.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like one day it'll be Considine, the next day Reggie Nelson, mm-hmm. you know, then Anthony Smith is in the mix.
Terrell Whitehead, undrafted free agent guy, his name keeps coming up. Is it 43?
Yeah, mm-hmm. for Norfolk State.
What do you see there?
Young player. I mean, he's got a long way to go.
Lightning in a bottle, huh?
Long way to go.
How about corner? Don Carey really making a move?
I mean, obviously he's not going to beat out Rasheen Mathis, but he's getting a lot of reps because they seem to be working him back in. He told us yesterday that last year, you know, had that groin injury, tore it off the bone, significant injury, and he said he's still kind of working his way back from that. Mm-hmm. So he's not getting the reps, but, I mean, you can see him slowly starting to increase. But, I mean, Don Carey's not going to compete with Rasheen.
I got another question for you. Is Cox playing well?
This evening's practice, he certainly was getting a lot of coaching.
Uh-huh.
Pretty strong coaching.
Uh-huh.
Which would, you know, lead me to believe that, hey, they're trying to tell him you need to pick it up a notch. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was one of the stars of the OTAs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he played real well in the OTAs, although there was some inconsistency there. He made plays in OTAs early in this camp. Uh-uh.
Word on him last year was he wasn't assertive enough, right? Aggressive enough.
Well, I mean, he, on the field, he certainly was. I mean, he was physical. You know, he never shied away from contact. He was a physical player on the field. But I think they want him to become more of a dominant personality on the field. And when I say dominant personality, I mean a little more swagger, a little more cornerback-ish. I mean, because yeah, mm-hmm. corners got to have a little swagger to them.
Feistiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little more, I don't want to say competition.
Combative.
Yeah.
Confrontational.
Yeah.
You know, a little more of the trash talk crap. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not into that stuff. Just play.
No, but more of a competitive edge
more
in practice day in and day out.
Yeah, edgier and more challenging.
All right, let's end with a quarterback. Trevor Harris, the young man from Edinburgh.
I want Jeff to go first.
Trevor Harris?
Yes, number 7.
Not much of an arm.
Uh-huh. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I have often looked at him and shared that opinion. And then I'll look back to see him throw another pass, and he'll open my eyes. Now, here's a classic example. I think it was Monday night. He made a throw on this field closest to this to the stands. He made a throw rolling out to his left to a receiver along the sideline, and he put it right on his hands with zip, and the guy made the catch, got 2 feet down, was perfect. It was probably his best throw as a Jaguar. He doesn't do it, and then he does do it. You watch him, and you say, this guy doesn't have an NFL arm, and then all of a sudden he makes a throw, and you say, well, maybe I'm wrong. I want to see more.
All right. That pretty much sums it up, ladies and gentlemen, and we will see more tomorrow, of course, 10:45 and 7 o'clock. Last two practices open to the public of training camp. Scrimmage for season ticket holders on Friday evening here at the stadium. Gates open at 6, 7:30 for the start of the scrimmage. Have a great evening, everybody.